in our hearts. If we don't read our Bibles believing that the things that have happened are true, then we must ask ourselves, who is our God? The account of Moses really started with Abraham. At that time, he was simply called Abram. And his name meant exalted father. It was a great name, except that Abram and Sarah were unable to have children. God told them that they would be parents, but it was laughable because they were so old. Sarah was 90. Abram was 100 years old when she gave birth to Isaac. And God extended Abram's name to Abraham, which means father of nations. In fact, Abram was promised that through his seed all nations of the earth would be blessed. The faith seen in Abraham is one that is often referred to in Scripture. From Abraham came Isaac. From Isaac came Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. And from Jacob's children came the 12 tribes, and from that lineage came Moses. Why is that so important? Because the question today is, who is your God? Our reading is an account in which God revealed himself to Moses and answers the question this lesson is based on. Who is your God? Jacob had taken his family of 70 people down to Egypt at the request of his son Joseph. It was so that they could be taken care of during a time of great famine in the land of Canaan. But they went from being honored guests to slaves. And now at the time of Moses, some 400 years had passed from that journey by Jacob to the time of Moses. And God had spared the life of Moses by allowing Pharaoh's daughter, who found Moses in a basket and who had compassion on the child, to take and raise him in the palace. As Moses grew up, he received the best that Egypt had to offer in both education and riches. And yet, Moses knew that he was a Hebrew and not an Egyptian. In the second chapter of Exodus, in verses 11 through 15, when Moses was about 40 years old, he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew man. And Moses did the unthinkable. He killed the Egyptian, and then he covered it up by burying the Egyptian in the sand. But that matter did not come unnoticed. The next day, two Hebrew slaves were fighting amongst themselves, and Moses intervened, only to be reminded about what he did to the Egyptian the day before. Killing an Egyptian, especially by a Hebrew slave, was a death sentence. And Moses decided to run away. He left Egypt. He went into the Sinai Peninsula, into the land of Midian. And here he witnessed another injustice, where there were some women who were trying to water their flock, and other shepherds came in and tried to chase them away. That situation earned Moses a wife. And for 40 years, he lived in the wilderness with her. He lived in the wilderness with his family. And now he was 80 years old. And he had walked away from the Hebrew people for the last 40 years. Moses, at this point, was living his life with a family in the desert under his own terms. And it is here that we find that God reveals himself to Moses. Moses is out in the wilderness and he sees this bush that is burning, and yet the bush is not being consumed. And so he goes to investigate it. And it is at that point that he hears the voice of God. In Exodus 3 and verses 4 through 6, said, "And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, 'Moses, Moses.' And Moses said, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Do not come near. Take off your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you stand is holy ground.' And he said, 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' And Moses hid his face and was afraid to look at God." What we need to see in this statement is something more than just a passing statement. This is a statement that God made that had purpose. This statement we can read in Exodus 3 and verse 6, in verse 15 and verse 16. We can feed this statement again in Exodus 4 and verse 5, Exodus 6 and verse 3 and verse 8, and Exodus 33 and verse 1. They all use this phrase, "the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And because God said it so many times, it has to have meaning. For 400 years, the Hebrew people lived in Egypt. And during that time frame, we have absolutely no knowledge of God doing any special miracles or teaching them in any miraculous way. It's kind of like a dark spot in the history of the Hebrews. Sure that all of these people had at one time or another in their lives had heard accounts passed down from families. But they needed to be reminded of these accounts because they were real. God chose Abraham to create their nation. And God meets Moses at the bush, and God commissions Moses to go to Pharaoh and to bring, listen to this, Exodus 3 and verse 10, "that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." It is here and then that God put his claim on these people. God says to Moses that the Hebrews, the people of Israel, are his people, and it's time to go home. But what does that mean to a people who have not heard the voice of God in 400 years? And this is where we come to the scriptures that Barney had read to us this morning. And that is the question. How does Moses, who ran away from these people, go back to them and say to them that God has sent him to them? And they will ask, "What is his name?" Verse 13 again, let's review that. "Then Moses said to God, 'If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and I'll ask, what's his name? What shall I say?' 4 centuries. Longer than this country has been a nation. 400 years these people lived among the gods of Egypt. And while they may not have believed in those gods, at least they knew who they were. and that the Egyptian gods had names. Oh, they had a lot of gods. They had cats they worshipped. They worshipped the crocodiles, the hippopotamuses, birds, you name it, they worshipped it. They knew that these people were going to ask him that question. Which God is the one that will supposedly save us? You got to love the answer that God gives him. I am who I am. If it stopped right there, I'd have to question that one. What does that mean? I am who I am. You know, the word Yahweh that we find in the Bible in the Hebrew text, it only has four letters. Capitals YHWH. But we've added the vowels A and E in there. But God doesn't stop there. In verse 15, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever. And thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. You can imagine how powerful a statement that was to Moses and how powerful a statement that is to us who read this. So we return to the question, a question that is probably the most probing question ever asked. Who is your God? We live in a world where people make gods from their own understanding. Jesus calls the love of things a god. We can make power a god. We can make people a god. We can make prestige a god. We can turn anything we want into a god. God is simply that which we bow down. A god is simply that to which we seek above all else. Let me tell you about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Let me tell you about the one and true God who created the world in which we live. The God who called us out of the darkness of sin. The God who brought us into His marvelous light of salvation. That is the God that we serve. Our God is eternal. Everlasting to everlasting. I don't know about you, but in my mind sometimes it's kind of like numbers. Numbers in my head has a specific pattern that it works. I'm not sick, I promise. It just happens that way. But when I think about eternity, I think from now to the future. My mind doesn't go backwards. But God was everlasting from the past and is everlasting to the future. He is immortal. And to God, because of everything that He has done, belongs all the honor and dominion forever and ever. The God that we bow down to leads us beside the still waters. The God that we bow down to allows us to lie down in green pastures. The God that we bow bow down to walks with us through the valley of the shadow of death. The great I am is a statement of a self-existing being. God's proclamation is that he is currently the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It means that while they may have died to this world, they are still with him. It is that very same argument that Jesus has with the Sadducees in Mark chapter 12. And starting in verse 24 and going through verse 27, the scriptures say, and Jesus said to them, "Is this not the reason you are wrong? Because you don't know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. And as for the dead being raised, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the passage about the bush, how God spoke to him saying, 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living.' You are quite wrong." We cannot forget who God is. He is the God of the living. He is also the God of the dead, not the dead body, but the dead spirit, the spirit that has gone beyond the grave. The spirit that is resting, he is still their God. Just as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were long dead, God was still their God. He is the same God that created Adam out of the dust. He is the same God that recreates us from the sinful being to a sanctified being. Our God is greater than all of us. Our God is greater than this congregation or this country or this world. We serve the great I am. And we therefore walk by faith that his will is always the right way for our lives. That was the commission that God gave to Moses. Go back to Egypt. Remind the people who God is. You know, sometimes even Christians forget Christ. Sometimes good people need to be reminded who God is. James reminds us that our lives are but a vapor that appears for a short time and then it's gone. But God holds us today. God holds us tomorrow in his hands. In everything that we will face in this life, we must take courage and not be afraid. Our God is with us. We are in the midst of a season where so many dread, because the season has changed for them. Heartache, tragedy may have occurred for them. And they're enduring a season without the ones they love, but do not forget, the I am is there. He is the God. And we need to be reminded daily that he is beside us in all ways, that he will continue when this life is gone to still be our God. Who is your God today? If you haven't accepted the gospel in your life, ask yourself, who are you serving? God gives us all an opportunity, a lifetime, if you will, to make that commitment. But that promise extends only to the life we are living today. And when that life is gone, there'll be no more opportunity. It will be an opportunity lost. Decide today to make that commitment, to obey the gospel through repentance and confession and baptism. You can be sanctified by the great I Am, and he will be your God forever and ever. Maybe you forgot who your God is. Maybe you in this life, after being sanctified, is chasing after other gods and you need to come home. We want to give you that opportunity also to come home. If there's anyone that has a need this morning, we pray that you'll come. Together we stand and we sing.